Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, and welcome to those who are worshiping with us online. Today is another day where we get to celebrate God's grace, and today we see that in his gracious warnings that he gives us. Last week, Pastor Colander helped remind us that we have been given new hearts through faith in Jesus. Today, we're going to talk about how sometimes we can, even in our hearts, close off that message that we believe in. That message of God's grace. And so today we're going to look at three big warnings that God gives in Scripture and what he says for each one. We'll also be celebrating God's grace as we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. So prepare your minds and hearts to receive the grace of God through the body and blood of Jesus. We'll begin our worship with a prayer as we ask God to speak to us through his word, that we are listening to it. God bless your worship today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment,
both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We ask for God's continued mercy. For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have
mercy. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Mercifully grant, O God, that your word may in all things direct and rule our hearts. For without your help we are unable to please you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We go to God's word now as it speaks to us through these messages of warning here. This first one comes from 2 Kings chapter 21. Young King Manasseh's father, Hezekiah, had repented, but now we see that Manasseh was rejecting the word of the Lord. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. His mother's name was Hephzibah. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had destroyed. He also erected altars to Baal and made an Asherah pole, as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshipped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem I will put my name." In the two courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his own son in the fire, practiced divination, sought omens, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. He took the carved Asherah pole he had made and put it in the temple, of which the Lord had said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen, out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not again make the feet of the Israelites wander from the land I gave their ancestors, if only they will be careful to do everything I commanded them and will keep the whole law that my servant Moses gave them." But the people did not listen. Manasseh led them astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. The Lord said through his servants, the prophets, Manasseh, king of Judah, has committed these detestable sins. He has done more evil than the Amorites who preceded him, and has led Judah into sin with his idols. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I am going to bring such disaster on Jerusalem and Judah that the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle. I will stretch out over Jerusalem the measuring line used against Samaria and the plumb line used against the house of Ahab. I will wipe out Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and give them into the hands of enemies. They will be looted and plundered by all their enemies. They have done evil in my eyes and have aroused my anger from the day their ancestors came out of Egypt until this day. The word of the Lord. Therefore, we join together as a good reminder in Psalm 119. Second lesson this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here Paul urges the Corinthians not to reject the message that he's preaching. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord. The gospel lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 1. Here Jesus is speaking to the Jewish leaders and the Pharisees who were rejecting him as the cornerstone, and he gives a good parable of warning. Listen to another parable, he says. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied. "And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord. Join together in the hymn of the day, "Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways." God's grace is yours, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thanks to Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Sermon text for today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your message. Amen. Anyone here like moving? You like packing up the house and all those boxes, loading up the moving truck? You hear a lot of times that people really hate moving. One of the more adventurous parts about moving is when you have to move the furniture outside of the house. You know what I mean? You got this furniture that, let's just say the door is not exactly couch-shaped, so it takes some maneuvering to get it out. It's especially interesting when you've got a big, heavy, bulky piece of furniture in the back of the house, and you got to maneuver through all those tight hallways and turns and doors, maybe even upstairs and down the staircase. Then the next people to move into the house wonder where all those nicks and scratches and dents came from. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just blow out the wall of that room and just take it right out? That would be nice. But sadly, there's constricting space, hard to get through. And that's why, sadly, it's a good picture of our hearts. You and I can have a hard time with God's Word and letting it get through. We can constrict it and sometimes maybe even reject it. That's what the Corinthians were struggling with too, which was surprising to hear. So we get to this beautiful portion of what Paul talks about with one of the purest descriptions of the gospel. We know it as 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It talks about how we're reconciled to God through Christ and how we're a new creation. But obviously the Corinthians were letting something get in the way. They were rejecting that. And so Paul has a very urgent and heartfelt message, you could say, that they needed to hear. And it's one that you and I need too. So we'll see here that now is the time to open your heart. And to help follow with the thought process, there are three sets of blanks that you can fill in on the bottom of page 10 in your bulletins. With all of it, we'll see, now is the time to open your heart. It's quite the contrast from chapter 5 to chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians. And that's because at the very end of chapter 5, you have that beautiful vicarious atonement passage about Christ. That we are reconciled to God because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. But right after that, Paul has to address probably our biggest fear. What if that was all for nothing for you and me? He says to the Corinthians, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. With everything that God had done for them, he had paid for their sins through Christ. He had brought them to faith in the message that receives that grace. He's done all of that, and now it seems that they were letting that be for nothing. They were letting all that go? Don't do that, Paul says. Don't receive God's grace in vain. Because what happens if you don't have God's grace? There's nothing left. If you're looking for salvation, there's literally nothing else there. We all fall short, so we need God's grace. That means in order for us to be reconciled to God, we need it. Otherwise, it's eternal separation from him in the fires of hell. That's a serious issue. So you can understand why Paul says what he says next. For God says, in the time of my favor I heard you. In the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Paul quotes Isaiah 49, when God the Father is speaking to God the Son, the Messiah. And he says to him, in the day that this message of what you're going to do is going to go out to all nations, including all the Gentiles, I will be there to help you. That will be my day of salvation. And so Paul's essentially telling the Corinthians, look around. You're Gentiles. The day is now. Now is the time of God's favor. This is his time of grace. There is no other time. You reject God's grace now, you're out of luck. Therefore, do something without delay. Do something to address this issue of rejecting his message. So you can go ahead and fill in that first set of blanks there. No delay, so not in vain. No delay, so not in vain. Let there be no delay in addressing what is causing us to reject God's messages. So let his grace didn't come to us in vain. Because God wants us to have his grace. That's part of his grace. He wants even us to have it. And how do you know that the most? Well, with God, there was no delay. There was no delay in offering that to us. Immediately after the very first sin, he promises a Savior. Immediately after that, he gets into working throughout all of human history the coming of that Savior. Immediately, when the Holy Spirit brought that message to your heart, he began to work. Immediately, he has been doing that with every person since the beginning of that very first promise. God has never delayed when it has come to our salvation. And that's because he knows how urgent it is. He would know. He's the one who has set a time. He has said, I will offer my grace freely now and none other time. And that time is now. So you and I are going to have that time of grace end, whether it's the day we die or the last day. Now what you know us about those 2 days is that we don't know when that's going to happen. It could happen next year. It could happen next month. It could happen next week, tomorrow, even today. So no delay in addressing what we are doing to reject God's message. We have to address it. No delay, so not in vain. That's what Paul, as God's co-worker, was trying to urge the Corinthians. But there was something that was getting in the way for the Corinthians. Why were they rejecting God's grace of all things? Well, that's what Paul addresses next. As you read through 2 Corinthians, it's obvious that there have been these false teachers that have come to the city of Corinth. They have been bad-mouthing Paul and his ministry, and the Corinthians are actually believing it. And so they're starting to discredit in their minds Paul and really the message he's preaching. So Paul says, all right, let's tackle that head on then. All right, if my ministry and my message and everything that we're doing is getting in your way, let's talk about that then. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, and beatings, imprisonments and riots, and hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, and purity, understanding, patience and kindness, and the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing yet possessing everything. Quite the paragraph. We could spend so much time looking at everything Paul says, but that's not our purpose today. You can go ahead and I encourage you to do that and looking into this paragraph later on, but today our purpose is why Paul says these things. He's basically saying, all right, our ministry is getting in your way. Let's consider that for a second. Look at how we have gone through everything. Look at what we have gone through, not just for you, but for everyone. What we have experienced, how we have gone about our ministry. Obviously, we show how much we care about you, Corinthians. So go ahead and reject the gospel if you want, but don't use us as an excuse. There's nothing that we have done. Get rid of any notion that we are what's the problem with this message. So go ahead and fill in that second set of blanks. Take away what's in the way. Take away what's in the way. Paul and his ministry was getting in the way for them. Take away that idea. There's no reason for it. Take away what's in the way. Now I'm guessing that Paul and his ministry aren't getting in the way for you. But that doesn't mean that we don't let things get in the way of God's messages to us. You know, sometimes you just have to recognize the obstacles, the clutter in the way, maybe the walls that have to get knocked down. You might not do it when you move furniture, but in this case, we do have to recognize that. What are the things that are getting in the way for you? Is it something that's discrediting the validity of the message? Like it was for the Corinthians? Is there something that's getting you to not trust in God's word? Is it human reason over and above Scripture? Is it trusting in the inerrancy of Scripture? Is it social pressure? You know, one of the big things that we can have that discredits the authority of God's Word to work is our sins. There are some sinful pleasures that we have that we don't want to give up. And so in our minds, we try to discredit God's Word, think that it doesn't have the authority that it has. That way we can keep doing what we want to do. Or is it something that's getting in the way of the content of the gospel message? That means usually it's something that's taken away from Christ alone, Christ's sufficiency, Christ's free grace. In the gospel lesson, Jesus was dealing with these Pharisees and Jewish leaders who were getting all caught up rejecting Jesus as cornerstone because of their self-righteousness and selfish pride. Are you putting your trust in your good works as a standing before God? What about the attitude of, well, I'm awesome, so God wouldn't possibly want to separate from me? Maybe your heritage or your past faith. We're talking about now. Or maybe it's the opposite of selfish pride. Sometimes we can let that happen too. We focus inward and think to ourselves, how could we possibly deserve God's grace? How could we receive this forgiveness? God reconciles even me. And what we're doing there then is setting up this idea that Christ isn't enough, that Christ isn't sufficient, that his promises that he has forgiven your every sin are not true. So you see, whatever it is, we put up these walls and barriers in our hearts and these obstacles that get in the way of God's messages getting to us. And that can threaten to sever our relationship with God, sever our connection to his grace. So take away what's in the way. And how do you do that? Well, you humble yourself and you remember what God took away. You remember what God still takes away today for you and me. Through the blood of his Son, Jesus, God takes away our self-righteous sins. All of those sins that get in the way of us and him, God wipes away and brings us to himself. Through the power of his Word, he humbles us, takes us down a peg, hopefully a number of pegs, brings us to our knees. Through the power of that same Word, he showers his grace upon us. It's ironic, the very thing that we can distrust and that we struggle with the validity and that we can doubt is the very thing that actually builds our trust in it, because it's powerful. It is what knocks all of those things down for us. God takes away everything that's in the way, so we respond in kind. We take away what's in the way. Now, in order for the Corinthians to do that, Paul needed them to do something else, because it would have made it a whole lot easier to do so. So what he says next: we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also. Basically, we have done so much. We've spoken truthfully to you. We have shown our concern for you. We have opened wide our hearts. Now it's time for you to do the same, Corinthians. We don't want you to receive God's grace in vain. Get rid of everything. Open up your hearts. Now I want you to imagine that God is saying this to you. I have spoken freely to you, my child. I have opened up my heart and given you the truth of my word. I have opened up my heart and poured out my grace upon you and forgiven your sins. I have opened up my heart and poured my grace upon you by warning you about those sins that try to sever our connection. I have kept my heart wide open through all of your ups and downs, your doubts and wavering. Now I want you to do the same with me, I have opened wide my heart. Now you do the same with me. Let's go ahead and write down in the third set of blanks there. Open your heart to God. Not to Paul. That was the Corinthians' issue. Essentially, it was that they were closing it off to God. Paul was getting to the issue. You and me, open your heart to God. Now, I'm not saying coming to faith. You already have that. You couldn't open your heart for that. God opened that for you. He put faith in there for you. But it's what we do thereafter that we can put up all of these things. We can constrict how God's word gets to us. So open it up. Open up your hearts. Recognize how much God cares about you. Look at his concern for you. Look at how he's spoken to you in everything. He's opened wide his heart. So now, do the same. Let his word do what it does. Let it reveal your sins. Let it warn you. Let it reveal your Savior from sin. Let it comfort you. Let the promises of forgiveness in Jesus wash over you and reveal the fact that you have peace with God himself, that he has reconciled you to himself, that he loves you, and that he wants to have you have eternal life. Let the power of that message empower you and motivate you to honor that grace now that you've received. As Jesus said in the gospel lesson, the gospel and the kingdom have been taken from others and given to some others. And let that be you who has received it, that you can produce its fruit. Let that word shape your minds and what you confess and what you trust in. Let it shape what you do, what you say, what you think, how you live, how you love others. Open your heart to God. Stop constricting it. Let it in. Let it do its thing. Because there is a move that we have coming up. Not a lot of people like moving, but we're going to love this one. God is preparing to move us to our heavenly home. So we don't want anything to get in the way and threaten that. We don't want it to be in vain, so without delay, we address it. We take away what's in the way, and we recognize that now is the time to open your heart to God. Amen. May God's grace empower you to open your heart and receive that grace and that peace. Amen. We now confess our faith according to what God has done for us throughout history, according to the words of the Nicene Creed on page 11.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We thank you for your continued support. You can hand in your thank offering on your way out if you haven't done so already in the plates on the table, or you can continue to do so online. Thank you as we continue to let this gospel message of grace go out. We now continue with the prayer of the church and the Lord's Prayer on page 12. We pray. Gracious God, continue to work in our hearts so that everything in our lives can be pleasing to you. Give us the courage to open up to your messages and open the hearts of others as we share your gospel with them as well. Lord of life, we seek your grace on behalf of Vicki Underwood, Sherry Wheezy, Linda Arms' brother-in-law, Alfredo Hernandez's brother, and all of those faced with injury, illness, or recovery. If it is your will, fully heal them and take away their suffering. If it is not your will, strengthen their faith and the faith of those around them, so that they may see your loving hand even in the midst of their troubles. Giver of all good things, we thank you for blessing all married people, especially those celebrating anniversaries. Give them a strong faith in you and a rich love for each other. Maker and preserver, we thank you for blessing all of those who are celebrating birthdays as well. As they remember their birth into this world, remind them also of the new life they received through water and the word in baptism. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name, who also taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Continue with the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Just a reminder about the distribution. We will begin up toward the front here and make our way back, and then go from the back on that side all the way up to the front. And just remember, whichever side you're on, you're always exiting to the outside and returning to the inside. All things are now ready.
The true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in true faith until life everlasting. Go in peace, your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Our closing hymn points us to our cornerstone. Good morning again. It's always a pleasure to worship our God and his grace with you. A few announcements for you. So first of all, Bible study will continue in here at 9:15 a.m. Please stick to the same seats that you used. That'll go till 9:45. Sunday school lessons are should have arrived at your houses for those maybe watching online as well. You can find the link to the NPH videos and all of that guide, all of that either in the email that was sent out or on our website, Staying Connected to God's Word page. LWMS offerings continue today. The box is back there. It's going to be sent in soon. There was no circuit that was going to happen. So if you have an offering for LWMS to support them as they support missionaries, which is, trust me, very, very much appreciated, you can submit that offering right there in the box in the lobby. A 20s, 30s Bible study will continue today at 5 p.m. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we had a lot of fun. It was about six of us. And we had the kids and everything. It was a lot of fun. Six, not including the kids. And we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And today we're going to talk about joy. So that continues today at 5 p.m. We'll meet down by the playground so that way the kids can play. We can keep an eye on them a little bit better. This Tuesday, Mornings with Mommy live on Facebook once again. So Tuesday at 10 a.m. if you want to watch it live. The recording is also available on our Mornings with Mommy page. If you don't like that yet, go ahead and like that on Facebook and that video will pop up for you. But Mornings with Mommy live on Facebook this Tuesday. We have a confirmation session for the non-St. Mark's Lutheran School students, a confirmation session this Saturday at 9 a.m. We're going to have that on campus. On campus, we'll meet in the chapel this Saturday at 9 a.m. There are a lot of important notes about some big decisions that are coming ahead. You can find those in the weekly news. So I will point you to the weekly news there. You can find the weekly news on our website as well. So big, important decisions and lots of other things that you can check out as well in that weekly news. May God continue to bless you this week as you remember to listen to His Word and let it in. You can stick around to greet one another nice and safely.
Thank you, you too. Thank you for
all.